Despite the current downturn in the fortunes of electronic businesses, internet use in the United States continues to grow, particularly the number of high-speed connections to the internet. About 5 million households now enjoy high-speed access. Faster connections may make life easier, but so far they have not brought about broadband utopia. The internet still has lots of built-in bottlenecks that keep it from hitting light speed, NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
If you're stuck with a slow dial-up connection, eat your heart out. That's my new cable modem as it fires up my high-speed connection. Life is great now that web pages appear instantly and sound files download in seconds, at least most of the time. Surprisingly, high-speed access can be pretty pokey at times. For example, what if, and this is a big if, I wanted to watch Britney Spears gyrate at a music video site?
Early morning, she wakes up.
The sound is, well, squashed sounding, and Britney's belly button is barely visible on the pocket-sized jerky image. Sometimes streaming video comes in as just a trickle. My cable connection is what's known as a fat pipe. It should be able to deliver high-quality, smooth video. So why doesn't it? For one thing, that video might have bounced around the internet's spider web of connections before it gets to my computer. To find out just how circuitous that path may be, take a look at a piece of free software called Neotrace. Type in the name of a website you might want to access, and Neotrace draws a handy little map of the route the information has to follow before it gets to you. Often, it is not a straight line. If I request a web page from, say, Seattle-based Amazon.com, the information might follow the wires down to a junction in Sunnyvale, California, then make a stop in Kansas City before finding me in Washington, D.C. So even though information is supposed to be traveling at the speed of light, those bits of data have to wait in line when they get to one of these junction points. Vern Paxson works out in Berkeley, California, for the International Computer Science Institute, where he studies internet traffic. When he tries to hook up with a computer just a few miles from his home, he says his information often has to make a transcontinental detour.
For example, my home machine here in Berkeley, to go to my office machine, on a good day goes through Chicago, and on a bad day goes through May East. And when it goes through May East, my connection gets very, very slow.
May East is the name of a very congested internet switching point located near Washington, D.C. There's little Vern Paxson can do to make sure his traffic follows a quicker path, but some companies are offering an alternative. This is the Network Operations Center for a company called Akamai. Based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Akamai is trying to reduce internet waiting times. The operations center is lined with computer screens, all of them tracking worldwide internet activity. Akamai has distributed 8,000 computers, known as servers, around the world. They are full of copies of web pages. Company founder Tom Layton says the goal is to bring those web pages closer to the people who want them.
For example, this collection of servers is for Windows Media in the Deutsche Telekom network in France. And this collection is for Quest, probably in Denmark.
This approach illustrates one of the fundamental contradictions of the internet. The global network is supposed to make location irrelevant. People can look at the same web pages, whether they live in Antarctica or in Alaska. But with bottlenecks like May East in the way, distance and location do matter a lot.
So we've placed our 8,000 plus servers so that 99% of the bits are being served on the end client side of the bottleneck. So you don't go through the bottleneck. It's not a matter of routing wires around it. It's a matter of serving the content from a point that's closer to the end user than the bottleneck is.
Even if the information you want is close by, it can get delayed by other factors. For example, it might have to travel over equipment that's owned by many different companies. The information I request from Amazon.com in Seattle may travel over different chunks of what's known as the internet backbone, big fat cables that carry internet traffic over long distances. My message may start on wires owned by AT&T, then jump to a big company known as Quest, then to equipment owned by Verizon. Akamai President Paul Sagan says these companies try to pack as much information onto those wires as possible. The goal, he says, is to make money, not necessarily to deliver information quickly.
A backbone or a network is really built like a toll road, not like a free highway. And so the person who runs it, if you think of it like a private toll road, wants to collect as many tolls as possible and not have times where they've got lots of capacity, because it means they're not gaining the maximum number of tolls.
So the speed of your internet connection may depend on how good a deal your internet provider has with some company you've never heard of. All these small delays can add up and make surfing slow, or even impossible in the case of something like a video file. Robbie Venkatesam runs a company called Attesto, which helps monitor and improve internet performance. He says video files are made up of a huge number of different information packets. If they don't arrive at nearly the same time, the video may just fall apart.
So you got packet number 1 and 5 and 10 that's coming, and you're still waiting for, 2, 3, and 7. And you got to wait for that, then put it together, and then show the image or play the audio file to the customer. Now, if you have a very large pipe, all these packets would reach nearly simultaneously.
So even if you spend the extra money for a high-speed connection, there are lots of variables that could slow down your web connection. In fact, you may be slowing things down yourself just by getting hooked up. As more people get broadband access at home, they'll start ordering up big audio and video files, and that adds to the congestion. Vint Cerf works with WorldCom and was one of the early developers of internet technology.
You hit upon what I would call the Parkinson's law of bandwidth. No matter how much bandwidth you put up, somebody will consume it with a new application that demands more.
Some say there's one way to measure whether the internet has become as reliable and fast as it should be. Ask a doctor this question: would you do surgery over the network? Not yet, but maybe someday. Larry Abramson, NPR News.